And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. A lot of people have been texting and emailing asking how my first ever attempt at smoking a turkey went. I'm happy to report it was fabulous. I brined it overnight. I put in some salt and lots of other aromatics and peppercorns and garlic. And I brined it overnight, rinsed it off good, patted it dry, let it air dry for a few hours, try to get that crispy skin, put a thermometer in it so I didn't cook it over 165 degrees, and it was a fabulous turkey. So thank you for asking. And I put it on a roasting pan in the smoker so I could get the drippings for gravy. And then we stuffed it, too. And the stuffing was fabulous. It was one of the better efforts. So thank you for asking. I've now done, I think I've hit for the cycle. Done the oven roasted. Done the rotisserie turkey. I've done the deep frying. And I've done the smoker. And they're all really good. But I'll definitely smoke it again. Nicole, you took Tuesday and Wednesday off last week because you are now a homeowner in America, which makes me so happy for you and proud of you. Private property ownership is an essential bedrock of freedom, and I'm glad you're not a renter anymore. So how's the nesting?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I think I sent you a picture of the visitor I had last week, which was kind of fun.
That was very cool.
Yeah. So I had a coyote stop by. And, you know, I mean, I'm in Everett. It's not, you know, super woodsy, but I have a little green belt behind me. And there was a coyote out there that looked well fed. So I haven't seen any cats. And now I know why.
I will tell you what. At our previous house, we had a big woods area on our property, and at least three or four times a summer, we would hear a coyote take a cat in the woods. That is one of the most horrific sounds, the screaming cat as it's being taken down by a coyote. It would often be at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and you just bolt upright because it is a horrific sound. Used to that.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, so it's been cool. I feel in nature back here, and nobody's looking in. That's nice. And then, yeah, I got all decorated, got all my stuff. I have to hire somebody to come out and fix the fireplace. I guess that's the first like homeowner thing I have to do.
Is it a gas fireplace?
Yep.
I got a guy.
Okay, well, I'll call your guy. I will, because all of my...
I got a really good gas fireplace guy.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to have a guy for everything you need in life from now on.
Great. That's good. I like recommendations.
Yeah. And then how was... So are you on the... I couldn't tell from the picture. Are you on the ground level or are you on second floor?
It's a townhouse, so it's 2 levels.
Oh, okay. All right. Fantastic.
That's awesome. I am liking it so far. It's a good space. And yeah, I did get most of the unpacked this weekend. I decorated for Christmas. It's good.
And Andrew, how was your Thanksgiving? Andrew's working this hour again.
It was well distanced, but still very satisfying.
Nice. How did you guys cook your turkey? You were with your parents?
No, I didn't have turkey. What was it? We had some steaks instead.
No turkey?
No turkey.
Where are you, commie?
I actually really respect that. That's awesome.
We didn't want to deal with the turkey. It was just a good old think it was prime rib. I'm not exactly sure. I don't exactly remember, but it was a good steak with some mashed potatoes and Caesar salad, homemade dressing. So it was all perfect.
You can't go wrong with that. All right.
Good stuff.
Okay. Well, look at us. We all had a nice Thanksgiving, except I was missing two of my three kids. So did you hear their plan that they offered up?
Yeah.
They're going to quarantine for a week in mid-December, and then they're going to come out to the house a week before Christmas and hang out with us for a week since we couldn't do Thanksgiving together.
See, that's so much better than a dinner on a Thursday in November. You get a week in December leading up to Christmas. It's way better.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a few days off before Christmas, so we'll just be together, which will be fantastic. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, not the
Okay, I should probably get to some news here in the Fastest 15, since this is my last hour of the workday, because at 2 o'clock, the Seahawks play tonight, and we'll shift into Seahawks pregame coverage coming up at 2 o'clock, which means I have the rest of the afternoon off. But, okay, let me get to the Fast 15 here. I put up our, with my wife and oldest daughter's help, I put up our Christmas tree on Friday. And, you know, I told you that after decades of going out to a tree farm, and we went to different ones, but went out to Duval a lot, and we would cut down a tree, strap it to the roof of the minivan, this back in the era when we had minivans in the Monson family, when our girls were little. And for decades, we would always go out into the woods, cut down our tree, bring it home, and loved it. Great, great, great tradition. And the only problem, of course, is if you like to have your tree up for a good long time, no matter how much you keep it watered, and I heard all the tips about the stuff you could add to the water to keep it fresher longer. But by, you know, the week after New Year's, I like to keep it up past New Year's, you have needles everywhere. So after my girls were grown, about 3-4 years ago, I broke down and I bought a fake Christmas tree. But it's the most realistic looking fake tree. And it was pretty expensive. But I figured, well, if I have this for the next 10 or 15 years. So we got that put up. But I've got two sections of lights, and I cannot figure out why they won't light up.
Oh.
And so I'm just distraught. I told my wife, let's just throw it out, and I'll get a new one.
Yeah.
No! You paid a ridiculous amount for this. So I got to fix it.
I'm not real hopeful you'll figure it out, because that's the death of fake trees. One branch goes out and you're done.
No, that was the whole selling point, that if one bulb goes out, the rest of the string stays lit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll see if my kids can help me figure it out.
I can't let go of live trees. As much as I see all these fake trees and they look so beautiful and they look so easy and I could find the perfect one, I cannot do it. I have to have a live tree.
If you'd asked me at age 30, age 40, age 50, I would say I will never get a fake Christmas tree. And then it got impossible to organize because our girls were all adults with busy lives and they didn't want traipse out on the Friday after Thanksgiving to a tree farm. And
you can still pick them up at, like, my parents. We get ours at Costco.
I could do that. Our friends at Yakima Fruit Market, they sell trees. I got one there one year. Anyway, a new survey says more families than ever want fresh Christmas trees this year during the pandemic because it is such a memory maker. And so tree farms, they are expecting will do just boom business because more than ever, people want outdoor activities that are bonding for the family. They're just pure fun and joy. And
nostalgic. We've been saying that this year everybody's been on this hunt for nostalgia. And
yes.
And it's nostalgic because we all did it when we were kids, you know?
I have great memories of cutting down trees with our girls. And the most vivid memory was always, is it going to make it on the roof of the minivan all the way home? Because it seems like it was never tied down very well. I was never a Boy Scout, and I was never really good at tying it down. But anyway, a upswing for tree farms this year, and I am all for that.
I went with a potted tree, so it's a live tree potted so that I can just move it outside after Christmas, take care of it all year, and move it back in.
Really?
How tall is it? 3 feet, maybe 3.5.
And how tall will it get?
I don't know. I'm guessing that it somewhat depends on the size of the pot. You know, if it has more room, it grows more, right?
Right.
Right. So,
Yeah. I like that idea.
Sounded like a fun idea.
It's a great idea. Love that. Okay, let's get to the news here for crying out loud. So, do you remember when, this is just a few months ago, when Donald Trump, he was reading something on his teleprompter, and he actually pronounced the H in Thailand.
Your foreign competitors moved their factories to prevent a level playing field and to avoid liability, shifting production to Thailand and to Vietnam. Thailand and Vietnam.
He fixed it right away. He said Thailand, and then he said to Thailand and Vietnam. But do you remember what the media did for days? What an idiot. He's called it Thailand. I've been looking for the media to ridicule Joe Biden, who claimed that he knew something about the Book of Psalms in the Bible. But he knew a letter was silent. He just thought the S was silent instead of the P. And here's what Joe did a few days ago.
And if we do, and I'm sure we can proclaim the palmist, with the palmist who wrote these following words. The Lord is my strength and my shield.
It wasn't a palmist. It was the psalmist who wrote that. And where's the ridicule? Where's the nonstop? Ah, look at how stupid he is. Because that's all I heard about Trump. They did it to Trump even on a biblical reference.
Once. I hear this is a major theme right here, but 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame.
Okay, remember that? And it was, he's a fake Christian. He doesn't know it's 2 Corinthians. He calls it 2 Corinthians. What a fake Christian. Are we saying the same thing about Joe Biden, a fake Christian, the devout Catholic? For the record, I don't think that Donald Trump's a Christian. I don't think that Joe Biden's a Christian. I guarantee that Barack Obama wasn't a Christian, who endorsed once again Reverend Wright, G.D. America, Reverend Wright, this weekend. I think we've had a couple of faithful Christians in my lifetime. I think George W. Bush was a faithful Christian, is a faithful Christian. And I think the same about Jimmy Carter. There's one from each side of the aisle. I think that almost everyone else fakes their faith just because they think it's needed to be elected. But anyway, it's just another example where Trump just got ridiculed. I'll tell you something else. I guarantee you, Joe Biden is no smarter than Donald Trump. And I guarantee he's no more Christian than Donald Trump. But the way the media handles these things, for Trump, it was a 24-hour news cycle, the 2 Corinthians and the Thailand. For Biden, nothing. Crickets. When he talked about the palmists. In the Book of Palms. It's all theater. It's just all theater. Okay, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, I got an email from a guy who's owned a restaurant for 50 years. He's 80 years old. And he said he is not going to follow Inslee's dictates to close his restaurant again. And he will tell you and me why right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. As I've been spotlighting for many weeks now, the governor's shutdown of our economy is completely capricious. The data daddy has no data to back up shutting down not just our schools, but other industries. There's been no cases of COVID-19 traced to health clubs. There's no evidence of restaurants being spreaders, and he's shutting down restaurants. I got an email last night from a guy named Rod Samuelson, and he said, "My wife and I have owned Spiffy's restaurant for 50 years, coming up on January 1st. Our governor has shut it down twice. We've decided to reopen tomorrow," meaning today. It's located on I-5 and Highway 12, heading east toward Yakima. Enough is enough, come what may. And Rod Samuelson joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Rod, I appreciate you writing to me, and I appreciate you coming on with me.
Well, thank you. It's an opportunity that I didn't realize would happen, but I appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Well, as I said, I think we need to get the word out about how capricious these shutdowns are. But I also think people need to understand just how damaging they are to our economy, to families, to workers. Tell me what this is doing to your restaurant.
Well, it's going back to when the stream first hit. Nobody had any idea at that point what was going to happen. I'm elderly. I'm retired, and I'm going to be 81 years old here, in another month. And the monies that we drew and leased, our lease money that we've had for this building and equipment that we own out there, was sponsored a lot of Christian organizations and stuff. And it's so, I don't want to go into all of that, but it's an important part of our lives. And the employees, I've got a waitress that's been there for longer than my manager, who's been there for 34 years.
Wow.
I've got another waitress at 28 years. I've got several in the teens that are, 16, 18 years. I think our youngest in terms of duration, employment duration, is 3 years. And a Hispanic dishwasher lady.
And for these people, they need that income just to feed their families, I assume.
And it's been a really good place to work for many people. We're on the freeway. Our local business is from California to the Canadian border or beyond. People come, sometimes one of my managers was just telling me yesterday that she says, I have a family from the East Coast that come here every summer, and they call ahead for certain items. And to us, that's a local person. That's a person that repeat business.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we're out there in the country where we don't have people right next door that can walk over and pick up some food to go.
No, I got you. So let me ask you, Rod. I talked to the owner of a restaurant bar in Kennewick 2 weeks ago who made the same decision. He said, "I'm going to open in defiance of the governor." And I said, "Now that you're talking to me on the radio, they're going to come after you." And sure enough, last week, 8 liquor control agents showed up with fines and a shutdown order. Are you nervous that by coming on the radio and talking to me, Rod, that Governor Inslee is going to vindictively target Spiffy's restaurant?
Well, I guess to some degree, yes. I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen to my employees. I respect the governor's position. I don't respect Governor Inslee, but I respect his office.
Right.
And I don't want to bring bad things down on our state and our governor and or the office. That's not me. I think this is what he's doing is more retaliation against our president than he is against any individual. I don't think he's really out to get people in our state. Maybe I'm wrong, but that would be my feelings, because if you look at California and Oregon, and then it's just like kind of a chain that moves up to our state. Whatever they do down there in those two states, we got to follow.
Well, here's the fear. Because a lot of people would hear what you just said and say, well, the election's over. What's the point? But there is a theory out there right now that depressing our economy and hurting businesses, that it will have an impact on the Georgia Senate race coming up in January, which will be the most important Senate races in our nation's history because of what it means for control of our nation. I don't know if that's true, Rod, but if we have governors who have no data to support shutting down, you know, Spiffy's restaurant and gyms, if they're doing it anyway, I'm trying to figure out what the motivation is.
Yes, I understand. And I go to our local gym, and I have a trainer there for twice a week to try to keep the old body in somewhat of a shape, you know, to do my best anyway. Mm-hmm. And our gym just changed its motive of operation to a wellness center. I don't know what effect. I'm going on Wednesday for the first time. It just opened today also. But it is now a wellness center, not just a gymnasium anymore. And they're going to limit to 25%. And I don't care if our restaurant would, you know, be given the opportunity to open for 25%. I have enough seats that we can do it. We'll do it. But I take exception to his statement that this pandemic is being spread by restaurants. There's no proof of that.
There's no doubt.
Show me a case that has happened. We have taken every possible step that he has mandated or suggested or whatever. We wipe down our menus faithfully. We wipe down the table, sanitize them. Sure. I went and bought from a distributor, an alcohol distributor. I bought a bunch of product initially to do this with, and we're still doing it. We're even now that we're reopening, we're not just saying, oh, we're not going to worry about it. Right. We do worry about it.
What happens if state agents show up and say, you got to shut down, you're in defiance? Then what happens, Rod?
I'm going to say, show me where I'm in defiance as far as the cause of this problem. Show me some statistics that restaurants are in defiance here and in the cause of it. And so if they can do that, I'll shut her back down. But they can't. I know they can't, because I watch all the news and the publications that come out, and there's no proof of it.
No, so, but you've been in business for 50 years. By the way, you might be the youngest sounding 80-year-old I've ever talked to, Rod. I want to mention that right now. But you've been in business for 50 years, and even if they don't produce that data, they're going to want to shut you down. Then what?
Yeah, I knew they are. I know they are, but I'm going to say no. And I suppose then we'll look for Plan B, whatever that is. But I'm going to wait for what their next move would be after that, I guess. I don't know. I don't have an answer, Dory, for that. I wish I did, but I want to do what's right. I've been in the business for a long time, and I'm a moral person as well as a Christian, and I try to do what's right and with people. If they you know, say they get a bad meal or something like that, I try to make it right. And there's people are always negative. they are always negative. That's the human nature of us, I guess. And so if, you know, anybody goes on a website or something about us, you always get more negative remarks than you do positive. That's just a given. But still, we have survived, and we get a lot of repeat business. We get there's a lot of cottage industries around us.
Good for
and,
you.
And we're patronized by these people. We get people from Portland.
I got you.
We have pies is one of our big drawing items.
Oh, and do I love pie, Rod. Oh, my gosh, I love pie.
We make Thanksgiving Day, we open for pies and dinners to go, okay, and whole pies. And we sold about 150 on Thanksgiving Day. That was down about 50 from the norm.
Yeah.
And we sold, I don't know, 30 or 40 the day before. So we were close to 200 for the week.
Good for you.
But
hey, I got to ask, we only have a few seconds left. I've got your menu pulled up in front of me. If I were to come down there, I would order the chicken fried steak. Is that good? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah, I ordered. I eat it. I try to cut down on the calories a little bit more, so I'm kind of trying to cut back on the gravies. So we have an excellent gravy. it really is good.
And, okay. Maybe I should cut back, too. You're right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That way I can save room for pie.
Good for you.
Rod, let me know if they come and hassle you after you talk to me like this. And let me remind everybody, Spiffy's Restaurant, I love the name. It's on I-5 and Highway 12 heading east toward Yakima. And Rod, it's a pleasure talking with you. And anybody who can stay in business for 50 years is doing a lot of things right. It's an honor to talk to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate so much your help.
Absolutely. All right. Rod Samuelson, just an example of thousands and thousands of restaurateurs who are saying, why us, when there's absolutely no data to back it up. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Much more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Getting a lot of feedback on my comments that we must reopen the schools. From the 360, Dory, they don't give a bleep about our kids. They won't refund tax money, and we as the people, the adults, the taxpayers, do nothing but stare like deer in headlights. Nothing will change. USA is dumbed down beyond control. I'm going to be on this. I'm going to see if I can get the superintendent of public instruction on. It's time for us to get our money back. I guarantee you that. From 206, with regards to kids going back to school, Dory, my daughter's at the University of Washington. Online schooling has been a struggle, major struggle, with some of these higher-level classes. They're hard enough in person, let alone trying to learn them online. First time ever in her educational history, but she has failed a class. I'm hearing from Bainbridge Island parents whose kids are failing classes for the first time ever. It's happening everywhere. Our daddy is destroying at least a year of our kids' education. And here's the thing. They know that nothing they're telling us about the risks is true. You know, the California governor, Gavin Newsom, says, don't go to a restaurant. But he goes to restaurants with his lobbyist buddies. In Denver, the mayor of Denver last week told people, do not travel for Thanksgiving. It's way too dangerous. Then he and his wife flew to Mississippi, where his daughter had just gotten a job. He traveled for Thanksgiving after telling all of his constituents not to.
I recognize that my job as mayor is not only to come up with, you know, safe practices for the entire city, but also to lead by an example. And I think on that measure, I failed.
You think you failed to live by example? His name's Michael Hancock.
It's a mistake that I deeply regret and deeply apologize for.
Baloney. You regret that you got caught. And plus, you regret that everybody now knows that you don't really think it's dangerous to travel. It's all about controlling people. But, oh, it was just a mistake. He just made a mistake.
I have stood by the science, have worked very diligently with the public health officials to make sure that what we were doing was doing exactly what we set out to do, and that was to save the city.
But do as I say, not as I do.
As always, you know, I'm human, and I've made a mistake here, John, but I hope that, again, 9 months of very hard work and honesty and transparency is not erased.
Oh, yeah, it was just a mistake. Oopsie-daisy, he accidentally bought a plane ticket. He mistakenly drove to the airport. He accidentally got on an airplane. It was just a mistake. And now they're calling for his resignation, as they should.
Do you worry going forward that people won't listen to you?
I hope the people listen, because at the end of the day, the mayor is a vessel. For that information that scientists and public health officials and medical professionals have advised us on.
Are you the best messenger for this going forward?
You don't come into this space believing that people won't notice the things you do. And I always say it's as much as your mistake, your how you respond to mistake is just as important.
So what about Christmas?
We won't be traveling. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now you won't travel. Will your daughter come up from Mississippi to see Daddy? What a bunch of hypocrites. And they know that what they're feeding us is nonsense. Okay, I'm going to step aside. Seahawks football's coming up next. I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, now.